Glory to God, you may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we have a special treat here today. Pastor Tim and Pastor Kate, they're not here today. So we have a special opportunity. Many of you have known, maybe some of you are newer here at this time. We have Pastor Jeff Michener is going to be ministering the word here today. And I absolutely love Pastor Jeff and his family, but anyone that knows him, you know, I think about John 15, you know, it says that he is the vine, we are the branches, apart from him we can do nothing. But then in verse 8 it says, here is the Father glorified that you bear much fruit. And so fruitfulness is the token or the end reward of what he wants to manifest himself through you. And one thing that I love about Pastor Jeff is, you know, he'd be the first one to say is we all have a testimony, but the testimony that you see fruit attached to the life of someone who possibly came from nothing, but recognized the one who has everything and says, I'm all in. And I want to encourage you here today because Pastor Jeff is the pastor of the Mayville Church. And the Mayville Church was came out of this church, so many of you have put your hands, maybe indirectly, maybe you haven't per se been to the church exactly, but financially you've contributed. And now you see one who stands in the office of a pastor, one that's laid down his life, and you see the fruit and the repercussions of the faithful man that's taken upon himself that office. And you see the lives that are changed in Mayville. So at this time, won't you help welcome me to the pulpit, Pastor Jeff? Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Today is a good day to be alive. Hallelujah. Can you bring me down just a little bit? Yeah, screaming at myself. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Today is a good day to be alive. If you came here today, you came to the right place. Praise the Lord. Not just because I'm here, but that doesn't hurt either. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's just a joke. I'm really not that full of myself. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm excited for what God has for us today. I know I got a message from heaven. Praise the Lord. You know, Pastor Tim, he emailed me a few weeks ago, and he said, could you preach on a Sunday in my church? And I said, heck yes, I will. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I get my turn. No, but he did. I asked him just the other day, I said, is there any last-minute instructions before I preach? He said, just don't ruin my church. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. So what we're going to do is, at the end, the ushers are going to have a little card for you. And on the card, there's a number from 1 to 10. 1 being the worst, 10 being the best. Now, we consider in family church anything less than a 10 is failure. So I'd appreciate it if you could circle a 10. Also, there's also a place on there for your name, your address, your credit card number. No, that's a joke. Hallelujah. They're not really going to have any of that. Praise the Lord. God is good. He's blessed us. Amen. I'm just so excited. I was in there, praise the Lord, in the office, and they gave me a cup of tea. Hallelujah. And then under the cup of tea was this thing right here. It says, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. Well, they gave it to me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I like that, though. You know, I'm going to give it back to you just so I don't forget it. But Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. Hallelujah. We need to take that attitude. Amen. We need to get excited about that. I just turned off my timer. Glory. Well, it's right there anyways. Praise God. I was thinking I was going to get out of it, but I guess not. But we got to take that attitude upon us. I'm the Lord's favorite. He wants to do good things in me. Listen, there's a lot of bad stuff happening in the world. There's a lot of bad stuff going to happen that's going to come against you. It's going to try to rob from you. It's going to try to take from you. Praise the Lord. But you ain't going to get there by focusing on that bad stuff. What you will get, how you'll get through is by focusing on the Lord who walks on water. By focusing on the Lord who calms the waves. Hallelujah. By focusing on the one who already beat death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Put Satan under our feet. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you get excited about that. I'm going to tell you something. I had 16 cups of coffee today, and I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's actually a joke because the Lord actually dealt with me about that. I'm not allowed to drink any coffee before I preach. Because, and that's true because he wants me to know the difference. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'll get excited for what God has for us. Today, today we're talking, the message is called Faith Moves. Hallelujah. Faith Moves. And I was stoked when I got to preach this message. When you know all kinds of messages you could have preached. I could have preached about how everybody's a loser. You know what I mean? How everybody's just doing bad. Hallelujah. You know, I could have done that. But no, the Lord had me preach about faith. If you know me, you understand I don't think you're a loser. God don't think you're a loser. There's no such things as losers if you're in the body of Christ. There's many losers outside the body of Christ. Hey, I was a loser. I was there. But all you got to do is come on over and you get into everything that God has for you. Praise the Lord. So if this is your first time today, I don't know all you, but if this is your first time today, I apologize in advance. Pastor Tim is really good. Come back and hear him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, he said to me this last week, and I really love this. He said, speaking inspired, we were just talking, Pastor Tim and I, speaking inspired, anointed, known. Let me start that over. Speaking inspired, anointed, known utterance to the gathered local church is God's number one desire. Hallelujah. That means that when you get something from God and you can preach it and you can teach it or talk about it, when you get revelation in the word and you can share it with God's local body, that's his number one desire. He's doing something in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, last night, I also pastor another church in Cory, Pennsylvania. And we do that on Saturday nights, similar to how Pastor Tim does a Erie church on Saturday nights. Praise the Lord. And last night I was outside, just a beautiful, nice night outside. And right before I got into to preach, I was standing outside just praying and seeking the Lord, you know. And God showed me something in my spirit. And these words came to my spirit. And the words were preparing for harvest. Hallelujah. Preparing for harvest. And then I got this image in my insides. Hallelujah. In my spirit, I got this image of a barn. And the idea that, you know, people don't build barns generally because they got a lot to put in it. They build barns because they're expecting to put a lot in it. Amen. They're preparing a place for the harvest to go. Amen. You know, and it's funny because I share that. It's very pertinent to Cory and what we're doing, the work we're doing there. And it's very pertinent to even the message I preached last night. But as I woke up this morning, I realized, man, that goes right with the message I'm preaching today. Hallelujah. We need to prepare for the harvest. We need to be ready for things coming in, the good things that God's... You see, what happens is Satan so often will get us so wrapped up in what's going on and the troubles and stuff that we can't see the harvest. And if we can't see the harvest, then we ain't going to prepare for the harvest. So if we don't do those things that are ready, then our harvest is going to sit out and get spoiled. Or maybe we won't even collect it because, well, I don't have enough place to put it. Praise the Lord. But see, God, faith moves, and we're going to learn about that today. Now, there's a lot of principles about faith. You know, faith does rest, and that's something that we have to understand too. But the move I'm talking about isn't just meaning you get up and get busy. You know, it's important to know what faith is talking about. But I want you to turn to Hebrews 11. Praise the Lord. We're going to start in verse 1. It's important to understand the principles of faith. But the way we're talking about it today, faith doesn't mean you get like itchy and you get like, you know, twitchy and stuff like that. That's not what it means by faith moves. That's not what I mean by faith moves. It means that faith moves into those things that you know you got to do. Faith does what you know you got to do. Faith hears the word and then moves, acts accordingly. Faith is always going to do something. Faith has actions attached to it. If you stand and get stale, you're never gonna move in faith. You will never walk into what God has for you. Praise the Lord. And see, here's a great thing about faith. If we learn from the word, is that we don't have to be afraid of having faith. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So listen, if you're led and you do it, and you do it the best you can, the best leading that you have, and even if it fails, God will still cover you. You stay in faith. Amen? Because God is good, and he's got good things for us. Amen? I said God is good, and he's got good things for us. Amen? If you believe that, praise the Lord. Say amen. Amen. Glory. Yeah, hallelujah. I knew you did. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's start in Hebrews 11, 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We could pass over that. I'm sure you've learned about this scripture before. We could pass over this scripture quickly, but it's really important to understand what faith really is. Faith, you know, people talking, they're talking like they have faith all the time, but see, there's a difference. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, things expected. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of things like that seen. If you have the evidence of something that's not seen, it means you got it. You understand it. You ain't worried about it. You ain't fretting about it. If you're looking around trying to where is it? Then you ain't in faith, because faith is the evidence of things not seen. If I got $1 million in the bank, I ain't sweating it. You understand? If a $10 bill comes in, But the same thing, if you know that you got things banked up, then you don't have to sweat. Because if you know who your Lord is, you know that you're going to move into those things that he has for you. Amen? For by it, what? Faith. Right? By faith. For by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Who wants a good testimony? Anybody going, you don't come into church, because a lot of people come into church because they're hurting, they're lost, they're defeated, whatever. And that's fine to come in that way, but dear Jesus, don't stay there. You know, I said this last night, I said it even this morning, I'm going to say it again. A lot of people come in with their baggage. They come into this beautiful mansion that God's built for them called faith. Hallelujah. This place of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I'm the door. He gets us in. We come through the door and you stand there holding your baggage. You stand there looking around holding your baggage. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Holding baggage gets real tiring. And see, when you realize that you're a new creation in Christ, when you realize that God has done something in you, that he's made you new, that you ain't got to stay where you were, that you don't have, you're not held back by anything that happened in the past, I'll tell you what, that'll move you into something. That's going to move you into the room and start looking around and see what's in there. Amen. That's what I love. You know, Jesus got rooms for us to get into. We talk about it, there wouldn't be doors that go to nowhere, right? So he's got something for us to get into. So you go through the door, there's stuff behind that door. There's stuff that you need to get into. Amen. Praise the Lord. If I keep going at this pace, we ain't ever getting through this message. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm going to stay there. Now look at this. So we had our first by faith there. We have to note that too. I want you to note that. You see by faith, the beginning of the scripture? Yeah. Now look at the next verse, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. Praise the Lord. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I honestly, God, just tried to scroll in my paper Bible. If you got an iPad, you know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. I was talking about that with my wife this morning. I said, I don't know why I feel the need to say things that you're not supposed to say while you're preaching, but I just do. I'll just tell you everything. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. No pride here. Hallelujah. That's a joke. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. But without faith, it is impossible. Everybody say impossible. Impossible. To please him. If you don't have faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved. Hallelujah. I got this squared in my Bible. I got a big square around it. Hallelujah. I'm going to highlight it when I get home. You need to square it and highlight it. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved. Hallelujah. With godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Praise the Lord. You know, in the next section of my Bible, it says, it's going to go into the next section, verse 8, but it says, faithful Abraham, you know? And I took this, I underlined faithful, I wrote my name above Abraham. Amen? Because I'm just going to, you guys just got to choose to be faithful, amen? We're going to be full of faith, we're going to be faith people, hallelujah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. But I want to back up a little bit, and I want to look at Enoch here. You notice it says that Enoch was taken away so that he did, by faith, Enoch was taken away. It didn't say that by God he was saved. It said by faith he was saved. Not by God's will, by faith he was taken away. See, people move into things by having faith, by believing God at his word, by saying, by hooking up the word, saying, I'm going in this direction. I'm moving in this direction. I'm after what God's after. I'm after what my pastor's after. I'm after what the church is after. This is the direction I'm going in. See, faith always moves. Faith moves us. Amen. Faith should move you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you have to remember, in verse 6, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you're just sitting around being stale, then you can't be pleasing God. See, Christians should always have something on their heart. And one of the things I love that God has done with me as I become a pastor is he's had to bigger my thinking. I said, he's had to bigger my thinking. Because my thinking was, so I was raised with, not by my mom necessarily or whatever, anything like that, but I just had that poverty mentality growing up. I had that I'd never have anything, that I'd never amount to anything, I was never going anywhere. This is the way I felt about myself and all through life. That was always around me. But see, God, if God's going to take you anywhere, he's got to bigger that thinking. He's got to get you out of that mindset, and he's got to get you thinking something new. He's got to get you in a new direction. Because if you stay there, then you will, because we only obtain by faith. You only obtain salvation by faith. You only obtain everything you will ever receive from God by faith. It ain't going to fall in your lap. You can sit there praying about it, crying about it, waiting for it to happen. It is not going to happen until you start applying faith. It isn't going to happen until you start moving. So listen, you ain't going to hear the gospel of the Lord unless you come to church to hear it. Praise the Lord. You can read it, but it ain't the same. Jesus said that we need to be in church. He said that we needed to have pastors. So you can't get the things that you can get from God by not being in a church. You got to move. You got to get up and do it. You got to move into those things. See, faith always moves. When you know something is yours, listen, I got some toys at my house. Not like, you know, really crazy toys or anything like that, but I got like a four-wheeler at my house. You know that four-wheeler sitting out in my barn right now waiting for me to get home and ride it? I'm not saying I'm gonna, but that's what it said. But unless I go, I can't access that. I can't use it unless I go out there and use it. Unless I move towards it. Unless I see, you know, I got the title. Praise the Lord. It's in my name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Nobody would really argue that it's mine. Nobody in my family argues that it's mine. But if I don't go out there and use it, if I don't go out there and decide to purpose to move that way, then I ain't going to use it, amen? I ain't going to have the benefits of it. But the same thing is with faith. We have to move towards those things. Faith doesn't just sit around getting stale. Faith gets up and says, I'm doing something, amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. I wrote a few things down and I wanted to share these with you. One thing is that you cannot believe in who God is unless you believe He is a rewarder. And there's a reason for this. Because that's exactly who God is. You cannot believe, let me say this again. You cannot believe in who God is unless you believe he is a rewarder, because the Bible says that he rewards, right? Where is that? Verse 6, right? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You cannot believe in who God is unless you believe that he's a rewarder. I said that several times because there's so many Christians, they're always looking for God to take the next thing from them. There's so many Christians that are looking around, looking for what God's going to remove, or man, I was bad, I messed up here, so God, surely he's going to come smite me now. He's going to take this from me. He's going to, you know what I mean? But people are waiting for that, but they forget that God is, he says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But see, people don't even get to that point of diligently seeking him, and this is why the devil tries to convince us of the falsehood that God isn't a rewarder, that he wants to remove, because once he gets you convinced of that, then you ain't going to diligently seek him. You listen, if you look around and you see a brother or sister Christian who's doing real well, who's prospering, who has everything that they need, and they're conquering mountains, praise the Lord, they're getting over, they're stepping up, stepping over, stepping through, glory to God, they're getting into everything God has for them, and you're just sitting there jealous, the only reason you're not doing it is because you haven't gotten the same faith they got yet. See, God, faith will take you, take all of us anywhere. That's one thing I love about God. He don't care if you're white, black, red, green, orange. He doesn't care if you're male or female. He doesn't care how tall you are. Praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I didn't get that tall anointing. I'm so thankful that he didn't care about how heavy you are. All he cares about is that you believe him, that you diligently seek him, that you're after what he's after. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All these people saying God is good all the time. You heard that? Oh, the Christians love to say that, don't they? God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Praise the Lord. And half of them don't even believe it. Half of them don't even believe that God is a rewarder. Half of them don't even believe, oh, God is good all the time, but he gave me cancer. God is good all the time, but oh, he's tearing things away from me, ripping things out. You know, I wanted this. And I remember there was a time I thought this way. I remember there was a time I was afraid of having something. I was afraid of being blessed because I thought it was going to be removed just because it blessed me. Listen, God didn't give you Jesus because he don't want you blessed. He gave you Jesus because he wants you to know that he will give you all things. Hallelujah. Romans was 8:32. Am I right on that? Hallelujah. He'd give us all things. When did Christians stop believing that? When they got dumb, when they started listening to the devil, when they got religious, when it was more important to believe tradition than it was the word of God. See, God wants us to move into all things. He says, I created all things for you. I want you to move into all things. And if you don't believe it, I'm going to give you my son just so you can get into all things. And if you don't, it's your choice. So many Christians live, they die, and they never walk into the fullness that God has for them. And they don't by choice. They don't because God doesn't want them to. You got to know. See, it's real important to know what God wants you to do. And once you know what God wants you to do, then you go after it like a dog on a hunt. And you don't back up from it. You don't leave it behind. You don't say, oh, I'm going to forget about this. No, you're after it. When God's put you in a church, you say, I'm going to go to that church. I'm going to be part of that church. I'm part of the vision because God placed me there. I didn't put me there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. I calm down before I get myself too excited here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. All these people saying God is good all the time, they should be the biggest faith giants out there, but you don't see that. And I'm not knocking saying things like that, but listen, let's get our hearts right and get our hearts thinking the way God wants us to think, and then go blab off at the mouth. You know what I mean? Then go say all the things that you want to say. Praise the Lord. People talking about how good God is, and then they go out and they live like the devil. Glory to God. You're not showing how good God is, you're showing how stupid you are. Yeah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I say that word a lot. I'm sorry. If we got kids in here, you know, you can't say stupid unless you're a preacher. That's the only time. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the Bible does say, hallelujah. What was that? Getting dive bombed there. Hallelujah. Let me mess with me. Praise the Lord. It was a fly or something, I think. I was just hoping it wasn't a bee. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you realize that God is trying to bless you, you will know these things that I'm about to say, and you'll see that this is his purpose. Where he has you for a reason. I said, where God has you, he has you for a reason. Where he has you is your blessing and your lifeline. You follow where God has placed you. You thrive there. The Bible tells us that who's planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in his courts. It does not mean somebody who's planted, then uprooted, then moved, and then knocked over. No, somebody who's planted in the house of the Lord. Pray you might as well just settle it in your minds right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to bring this up. Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, we were talking about Abraham because that's kind of where I left off, was about faithful Abraham, right? You know, Abraham wasn't always Abraham, was he? In case you didn't know, his name was Abram. Amen? Now, look at this. Genesis 12, 1 and 2 says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. You notice he didn't say go to Faulkner. Yeah, you know what I mean? He didn't say go here, go there. He said, go to a land that I will show you. Get up and move. Start moving, and I'll show you where to go. You see, sometimes the direction of God, you don't know where you're going. Sometimes the direction of God, you only know this much. See, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did I say, yeah, we're working on buying a building right now in Corey. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's a land. But God showed me some things about that. He showed me some things for the future. Praise the Lord. Are we necessarily ready to buy a bill? Yeah, because God said so. But in the flesh, you don't feel like that. Amen? But see, God's preparing for harvest. Hallelujah. But see, he's doing the same thing in us. He'll show us little things all the time. You'll get things in your spirit. You're in this church, you should learn how to be spirit-led. And if you're not, well, you stick around long enough, they'll tell you how to be. Amen? I can't preach everything to you tonight or today. This morning. I can't give you everything in all one day, so, you know, just bear with me. But if you stick around long enough, you'll learn how to walk in all this stuff. Why? Because I did. And I'm a fool. If I can do it, dear Jesus, any one of you can. Amen. Praise the Lord. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. And look at this. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Hallelujah. You know, Abram is the one who he changed to Abraham because his name reflected what the promise was. We need to look at ourselves like that. You know, a lot of people call themselves Christians. They don't have any idea what that means. I say, just because I go to a church, a Christian, that doesn't mean nothing. You know, the word Christ means anointed, right? And so the one who a Christian is one who is anointed, one who follows the anointed one, or we know that we've been made in his likeness and image. He's trying to make us like him. Hallelujah. That's what his goal is. And so we are the anointed ones. But a lot of people don't even understand that. They don't understand. See, the terms matter. The understanding of the word matters. It matters what you believe you are, what you believe you can do, if you're going to have anything that God ever has for you. You cannot get it. Listen, God is not a quick fix God. If you screw it up real bad and then you come into church expecting to just be swept up and clean, it's not necessarily going to happen that way. Sometimes you got to be brought through, amen? I know people that I know people that make really bad, really, really bad, and it's going to speak probably to a lot of people here too, because I was in this position myself. But there's a lot of people make really, really bad financial decisions. And then they come to God and they say, well, I'm going to do this and that, and I want to tithe and I'm going to give, and they do that even, and they don't see the blessing of the Lord, but they don't see the blessing of the Lord because they've never got that bad stewardship fix. They still, if you give them $10, they'll still go spend 20. Praise the Lord. Christians, go out and buy lottery tickets. Just waste the money. You'd be better off to put that money in the church offering. Why? Because I'll tell you right now, it ain't going to happen. You're not going to increase, and who cares? You want to increase that way? Well, if you do, you haven't have any idea who God is. You haven't any idea who God made you. He made you rich already, like Pastor Brad was saying. You are the rich already. You're already that. You can't be made any more rich. I'm not just talking about money. I'm just talking about fully supplied. I'm talking about having the things that God says that we can have, the things that every one of you is after. Why? Because I know what it's like, right? We're all humans. We all live in this world. We're all after the same things. Don't you want a happy life? Don't you want a life where you ain't worried and not trying, always trying to figure out where it's going to come from or how it's going to... You know, praise God, hallelujah. I did a little study on the sufferings of Jesus. You know, the Bible says we got to suffer like Jesus. And so people are like, oh, you know, I got the sickness because I'm suffering like Jesus, or I'm poor because I'm suffering like Jesus. You know, Jesus never suffered those ways. He never suffered those ways. You say, how can you say that? Well, Jesus, everywhere he went, had everything he needed. Well, how could he suffer from poverty if he had everything he needed everywhere he went? Because isn't poverty the lack of everything you need or something that you need? Praise the Lord. He never was sick a day in his life. In fact, he rebuked sickness. He laid hands on people and healed sickness. Everywhere he went. Suffering like Jesus, that's not suffering for Jesus. Suffering like Jesus is suffering the way he did. He was persecuted. Yeah, as a Christian, you'll be persecuted. Guess what? Get over it. It's the way it is. A Christian, you'll get persecuted. But that doesn't matter because God has got your back. Hallelujah. He's going to take you through. He's going to carry you on if you move with him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're still in, I hope you're still in Hebrews. I was supposed to tell you to stay there, but if not, you can find it again because you found it last time. So I'm sure you can do it again. Amen? And I got great faith in you this morning. So we're in Hebrews 11:8, and now we're going to go to Hebrews 11:9. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We're going to see a theme here as we're speaking. By faith. You know, all these things, they're saying by faith, but you understand that the thing after it was an action. Your faith moves, amen? By faith they moved. You can say that each and every time. By faith, verse 9. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He waited for it. It wasn't there. He didn't see it, but he was out there waiting for it. Amen. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. We all know that children don't happen by accident. Well, at least we should, right? By faith, you got to do something. I mean, she was like, what, 90 years old or something at that time? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You go up to most 90-year-olds, tell them they're going to have a baby, they're going to laugh at you. In fact, I think she laughed, didn't she? Hallelujah. But see, faith's got to move. Faith's got to do something. Amen? Abraham was like, heck yeah, we can do this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 12, therefore, from one man, as him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Oh, isn't that exciting? Praise the Lord. Now, I want to just show you something here. And I don't want you to turn, you don't have to keep turning. And, well, it's not really turning. I mean, if you're there, you're already there. But if you go down, verse 17, by faith, Abraham. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. 24, by faith, Moses. 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt. 28, by faith, hallelujah. 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Verse 30, by faith, Jericho. 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab, praise the Lord. By faith, verse 33, through faith, glory to God, hallelujah. By or through faith was used approximately 20 times in 40 verses here. 20 times in Hebrews 11, it uses the word by faith or through faith. The understanding that it takes faith, to move on what you know, to move on what you're promised to get into those things. None of these people would have had anything from God. They wouldn't have been listed here unless it was saying, well, he had faith, but he didn't have faith and he didn't get. But you understand, none of these people would be listed in the great faith chapter if they hadn't moved on what God was showing them and what God was leading them. Praise the Lord. It didn't always look good. It didn't always look easy. It didn't always look like it was something they could even do. But because it was something, and the same thing, I want to bring this in relation to a church. Bible tells us if you miss the Sunday school, well, I don't know, you can't archive that, right? Well, you missed out, sorry. But if you missed the Sunday school, we talked about what the office of the pastor and the importance of that. And the reason we use that is because, that was a B. Okay, sorry. That's dominion, hallelujah. But anyways, we understand that it's important to be connected somewhere. Because you can't move into the things of God without being connected the way God has told you. Now, I look out here and I see many faces that I've recognized that were here, maybe even some of you before me, a lot of you before me, or a lot of some of you before me, hallelujah, because really a lot of you wouldn't be here before me because I don't know you and I was here before, hallelujah. Praise God. But anyway, some of you are new, or some of you may be, this may be your first time. Some of you may have been here just maybe a year. But I'm telling you, you stay connected to where God has you, and he's going to move you into great things. But part of that, and you got to be a little bit smarter than me. I remember when I was, I would refuse to come to Wednesday night services. I just wouldn't. I had my own thing. I wouldn't come to them, you know. And it was after a Wednesday night service, and I was here watering plants or something. I could serve, I just couldn't come to Wednesday night services. And I'll never forget my brother, John Gray, just came out of the church. And he was out there, and he was just kind of sitting off to the side, and I started talking to him. And he was just hooched in the spirit. Praise the Lord. If you don't know what that is, you just come around a while, and you find out, amen. Ain't trying to be weird, but God is good, amen. He'll fill you. And there, Christians, you got to realize, one of the most important places for a Christian is the local church, because that's where God starts and flows out. Now, he'll use you individually. He'll show you individually. But he's also going to connect you somewhere, because we're a body, and that's what Jesus wanted to do. So it doesn't matter if you don't like it. That's the way it is. Amen. So just get over it. Hallelujah. But at any rate, he come out, and I saw it. I mean, I could physically see it all over him. I could see the glory of the Lord all over him, and it excited me. It excited me. I'd gone to this church 5 years, and I still hadn't gone to Wednesday night services. Well, I started going, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you don't get me out of church. Hallelujah. We drive for hours. Monday night or Sunday night, I drove up with Pastor Tim to Toronto. We went to church, drove 3 hours up. Monday morning, we drove back 3 hours. I turned around, drove right back up there so I could go to the next couple services. Praise God. But he couldn't, but I could, and that's why I wanted to do that. But see, this is the thing. When you realize what God has for you here, it's gonna move you into all those things that you desire, all those things that you want. And it's not a bad thing. God's doing good things here. Amen. Praise the Lord. But if he can't move you, if he can't give you to do the basics, he can't move you into anything else. The reason I say all that is because God's going to deliver things here for you to do. What works for you to do. You know, when you sow into a work, when they're planning a church, do you realize that you're also sowing into your own household? You're sowing into your own family? How do you know that the money you give won't be attached to somebody's health 5 years down the road? You may need a miracle from God, and that money that you sowed, or that faithfulness you sowed, I should say, not just money, because it's not, believe me, it's not just money, but the faithfulness that you sowed, that time that you served, all those things that you did, the excellence as unto God, because you wanted to be excellent for him. Praise the Lord. See, faith moves into these things. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9:6. Praise the Lord. God's taking us somewhere, amen? He's taken us somewhere because he loves us. He's taken us into some things because he loves us. He wants greater things for you. In fact, I'm gonna encourage you. If you don't think God is that great yet, if you don't think that God wants good things for you, I want you to start in Genesis and see how he created the earth. And then he put man. He didn't bring man first and then create the earth around him. He created everything perfect, everything lush, everything beautiful, all the gold, everything. He put it in the earth and then he plopped man right in the center of it. Hallelujah. You don't believe God wants good for you? Look at him giving his son. Read Romans 8:32. Actually, read all Romans 8. Read all Romans. Hey, read the whole stinking Bible. It's all good. Hallelujah. It's full of God wanting to. Every single book of the Bible is God trying to bring his people into the blessing of God. Hallelujah. Every single book. That's why I don't understand why the religious-minded people, they sit there, the sour looks on their face, sucking on lemons, and they sit there, they're like, I don't know about all that prosperity business, and I don't know about all that, God-healing business, and I don't know all about that God wants you blessed business, praise the Lord. They don't read their Bible. There is no way that they read their Bible and not believe that. Well, praise God. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Praise God. Praise God. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Praise the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver. You see, a lot of people take this verse wrong, though. A lot of people look at this verse and they say, well, I don't purpose to do that. Now, the Bible says to purpose to do it. Do you know what purposing to do something is? That means you move. What is the thing we got to do, and what can I do to help that? What is the mission objective here, and what is my part in that? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. There was a time I didn't have any money, so you know what I used? I used the sweat of my brow. Hallelujah. I offered my service. There was time when I had money. You know what I did? I gave the money. Praise the Lord. I did whatever was necessary to accomplish the goal that is set before us. That is moving into the things of God. That is where God will bless you. God is not blessing you looking there saying, Lord, I really wish that I could do this. I really wish that I could give something. I really wish that I could spend some more time at church. No, you can if you do it first. You can always do it. If you move for God, I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about moving with God and what he's doing. Listen, if you don't believe that you are in a place, hallelujah, I hope this doesn't come under ruining the church, but if you don't believe that you're in a place where they're hearing from God, you might want to check the place you're being. You might want to check. If you're not getting fed where you're at, there's something horribly wrong there. God never intended his people to starve. Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Couldn't you say if he loves something, it pleases him greatly? Yeah. If he loves something, he loves us. And we're the same way. If we want to please him greatly, we have to love like he loves. We have to love the work. We have to love what he's doing. We have to love the people. I know Pastor Tim's been preaching about all this, but it's gotten people get stale sometimes. It's a natural thing. It's not your fault. Praise the Lord. So we give you a free pass here today. It's your fault if you stay in staleness. Amen. If you don't get freshened up, that's your own fault. But everybody goes through periods of time where maybe they're not as excited as they once were. Well, stir yourself up. Just get back into it. Because if you want, listen, we don't do it for good things for ourselves, but if you ever want the blessing of the Lord, then you have to start acting different. You know what I mean? Then the way that you always did. I'm not saying all you are doing so bad or you're all bad people or anything like that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just trying to encourage you to move into the things that you know to move into. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to give you a principle. And you can get offended if you want, or you can embrace the principle behind it. Amen. I had someone close to me once express the idea of partnering with my pastor financially, and so I decided to do that. It sat well with me. Listen, I could have decided not to, and you could decide not to. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying that this someone told me that it blessed them, and it was a great connection for them, and they did it. So I did the same thing. And we, of course, there's many principles in the Bible about that. It's not wrong at all. And so I did that. And and I would do it on occasion. There was a certain amount of occasion that I would do it, and he would see it coming in, you know, at whatever. And he was always blessed by it. At first, he even tried to get me to stop, but then when he saw that I wasn't going to, I think he just let me do it. But and it wasn't bad. He knew the principle, obviously. But at any rate, one time I was with Pastor, and one of my favorite things to say is when I would slap it in his hand, I'll give the Pentecostal handshake, I would slap it in his hand and I would say, Pastor, I said, one day that these are going to be $100 bills. I would say that often to him, you know. And one time I was with him in California, and at first it was real hard to do the amount that we were doing, and because it was a leap of faith. But I was moving on the knowledge that I had. I'm giving you a principle here. I'm not saying you have to do this, but I'm just telling you understand what I'm saying. Because there's going to be somebody in here, and I even sense it already, there'll be somebody in here that'll leave and be like, you know what, like they just talk about giving money to the pastor. That's not what I'm saying at all, so you didn't listen. But at any rate, I'm talking about faith moving, amen? So anyways, this one time I did that, and I had gotten comfortable with the amount that I was doing. My wife and I, we had budgeted in to our budget. We had a budget right along. We keep doing it, and everything's great. Praise the Lord. It's easy to do. Don't even think about it anymore. And then this one day I did that. I said, Pastor, one day it will be hundreds, and the Spirit of God spoke on the inside of me, and he said, that'll never increase unless you increase it. He said, that'll never increase unless you increase it. And see, that's the way it is with anything. We want more. We want God to bring us into more. We want God to make us better, but we never do our part to increase it. Now, the principle is, it could be anything. It could be your serving. It could be time at the church. It could be the number of services you go to. It could be absolutely anything. But it will never increase if we don't increase it. Listen, faith doesn't call you to be idle. If you're idle, something's off. Unless you've specifically been directed into rest, and that's a whole nother sermon. We ain't preaching that here today. But the truth of the matter is, faith never calls us to be idle, just sit by and watch everybody else. You got to do something. Why do I get blessed? Because I do stuff. Praise the Lord. I wish I had got this principle earlier. I'd have been blessed earlier. Amen? I've been walking into certain things faster because, you know, but I was a dummy and I didn't get it. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Giving isn't giving unless it takes your faith. Giving of yourself isn't giving unless it takes your faith. Until you get to the point where you say, well, I just don't know how I'm going to do this anymore even. Praise the Lord. There'll be times where you'll be serving and you're just like, I don't know. I'm telling you. When I was, right before I was pastoring, there was literally times where I was going, I remember one morning, the Lord had to remind me. I woke up a Saturday morning and I didn't know how I was going to do what Pastor Tim was asking me to even do. And I woke up and the Lord spoke to me, not Pastor Tim, because, you know, that would have been weird, but praise the Lord. But I woke up Saturday morning and I come out of my sleep and I still have this on me, and the Lord spoke to my spirit and he said, cast your care, real sweetly, cast your care. And I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, there's that principle too, right? So I said, Lord, I cast that care on you. And guess what? He took it. And everything worked out. But see, faith moves towards things. Faith is going to do something. And then, you know, I didn't worry about it anymore because I knew whatever he's called to. In Mark 12:43, I want to read this to you. 43 and 44. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. God didn't rebuke her for putting in everything she had. Now listen, there's principle here. You have to understand some things. I'm not saying you just take your whole paycheck and you got kids and stuff like that. You know, you have to be wise about it. But you do have to do the things that God said first. You know, people want to be blessed. They never tithe, never give. They'll never be blessed. The full blessing of God. Listen, you may say, I don't tithe, I don't give, and I have a lot. Well, you could have a lot more, praise the Lord. You don't even understand what God has for you. Amen? And see, the thing is, she moved. Hallelujah. That she moved on it because she recognized that God was doing something. She recognized she was connected to something that was special, praise the Lord. So she moved. She did what she needed to do. And that's what we all need to do. We need to move into those things that God has for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Turn with me to Luke 4:18. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Glory. Luke, great physician. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Praise God. He's anointed him for something. He's given him the ability to do something, to preach the gospel to the poor. Praise God, with effect is what this really is saying. You know, when Jesus wasn't just preaching the gospel to the poor so they heard the gospel. I mean, it's so foolish, but that's the way people think about it. That's the first thing Jesus did, it says he's anointed to do, was preach the gospel to the poor. What are we constantly doing? We're preaching the gospel to the poor. You ain't walking in the Abrahamic blessing yet. You don't know what that is? Go into, was it Deuteronomy 28? Is that 1 through 14, something like that? You'll find out all about that, amen? That's what God wants for you. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all those who are oppressed. Praise God. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. When the gospel is preached, it's meant to inspire movement. When he preached to the poor, he went to the poor, he preached to them, and they saw how his preaching was powerful and would change things. And so they started doing those principles. They moved on it. See, when the gospel preached is always meant to inspire something. When there's an anointing to do something, it's to inspire movement. Because God isn't just a sit around, wait for it to happen kind of God. When he speaks, he meant everything he said to come to pass. And then he says, for us, we're supposed to speak the same way. But people speak all the time like they don't have any clue that it's coming, that it's going to come to pass, because they would speak different if they knew what they were saying. Amen. Praise the Lord. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You can't not do the word and have the blessing of God in your life. You can't hear it preach. Listen, I know when something's preaching, it's hard to hear. Sometimes we don't like to hear the things that are preached. There was many, 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 many times where I didn't like to hear what was preached. There are still times when I don't like to hear what's preached. Amen? But it ain't going by what I like. See, if you always, like, that's the thing about this society, is we've taught our people how to be a bunch of lilies running around not knowing how to deal with anything. Praise the Lord. It bothers me so much when I think about, you know, my son said to me one day, my oldest son, Mark, you know, 20-year-old Mark, big tough guy, hallelujah, muscles. He does all kinds of manly things, you know what I mean? And he saw me doting on my little daughter one day. And he said, I would have, and he was kind of mad one day, and he said something snarky to me. He said, you would have really got on me for doing something like that. And I got after him. It was later, I think later on that night, I got out after him, and I said, do you want me to raise you like a girl? I said, do you want me to raise you to be a little lily so everything bothers you, or did you want me to raise you tough like a man? I said, see, the reason because you act like a man is because I raised you like a man. You see, that's the way we have to, you know, see, Christians, we have to understand that. God didn't make us to be lilies. He didn't make us to be weak and to be defeated all the time. So if you're constantly feeling defeated, you are not walking out what God made you to be. God has made us to be powerhouses, hallelujah. He's made us to be walking, talking carriers of the Holy Spirit. There used to be an ark that carried the power of God, and now he said, no more ark, I'm going to put it in you, hallelujah. Look at yourself when you get up in the morning and say, wait a minute, I carry the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the very ability of God that created everything, that rose Jesus from the dead, that took him up and put him on my right hand. I got that right inside of me, hallelujah. I'm going to do something with it. I'm not going to lay down and be defeated anymore. I'm going to stand. What are you going to do, lay down and die? Praise the Lord. You don't want to do that. Unless you really want to go be with Jesus, but praise the Lord. Get out of the way for some more faith people, hallelujah. We got to get it stirred up. We got to get excited about the things God's doing in us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God loves us so much. He loves us so much. He's given us the ability. But I'm going to tell you what. I can imagine that God sits up there sometimes and he's like, man, I just want to kick these people. You know, he probably doesn't think that, but I'm thinking that. Amen? I'm thinking God's got to be thinking that. Sometimes he looks at me and thinks, man, I just want to like just give him a little bump and just say, you know, like stand up. Stand up and get into what God has for you. Hallelujah. Move towards those things. You say, well, I don't know what it is. Well, just start moving towards God. Say, Lord, I believe you. You said, there's many that are led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. Well, I'm your son. I'm your daughter. That means you're leading me. So I'm expecting that you're going to show me something. So I'm going to start walking into that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You start doing it by faith. Cause those things to be not as though they were. I don't know where I'm going. You don't need to know. Praise the Lord. One time when I was working here on staff, I was a maintenance guy, hallelujah. Hating maintenance guys and make them into preachers. Glory. I was a maintenance guy, and I was looking at a lock up at the youth building. You all know that lock up there that didn't work? No, you all know it because it works. You know why it works? Not because I worked on it, but I did work on it, but that's not why. Because I was standing there, and I didn't know what to do. I was looking at this lock, and it was a complicated lock, and I had the thing torn apart, and I'm like, this thing ain't working. I was getting frustrated, and I'm like, and I didn't want to call a locksmith because, you know, job security, praise the Lord. So I was like, I got to figure this thing out. So I went to the Lord and I said, Holy Spirit, I said, you're my teacher. You're my teacher. Show me how to work this lock. And I stepped back and I gave it a real good look, you know, eyeball it a little bit. Praise the Lord. All of a sudden something came to me. Wait, try this, this, and this, and this. And I ain't kidding you. I did that. It didn't even cost us any money. Praise the Lord. I said, well, I mean, my paycheck, but it only took me 30 seconds to figure it out. I mean, I don't got the 5 hours I worked on it beforehand, but praise the Lord. But you understand, some of us are a little bit slower than others, and it takes us a minute to get into it. But when I got into it, the Lord showed me and stuff that I didn't know. It was there. He'll make you smart. Praise the Lord. He can take somebody like me. I dropped out of high school. Went back and got my good enough diploma. Praise the Lord. That's a GED in case you didn't know. But I went back and God can even use someone like me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's taking us somewhere, folks. He's taking us somewhere real good. God didn't give us all that. The reason for the stirring of this type of message, the reason that God is bringing these things out is because Christians have to start stirring themselves up into the things of God, because we ain't going to get there unless we go. We're not going to see everything God has for us unless we choose, unless we decide that we're the ones who are going to do it. We can be the ones that usher in the coming of the Lord, glory to God. Do you realize the stage that we're at? We're the ones who will see the great and mighty miracles that the world has never known, even when Jesus was here, hallelujah. He was here and he was laying hands on people and ears were growing back and things were growing out and people that didn't see, they saw again. And he said, I'm saving the best for last. You and I are in the last, hallelujah. We have got to play. Oh, praise the Lord. I just realized I was yelling. Glory, hallelujah. God's taking us somewhere. He wants people to get fired up. He wants to get people to get stirred up and excited for what he has for them, because it's good. It's all good. It's so good you can't even understand how good it is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. I'm fixing the clothes here. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 13:21 in the Amplified. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:21 in the Amp. Strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything that you may carry out his will. This is what he wants to do in us. Strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will, while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ the Messiah, to whom be glory forever and ever, to the ages of ages. Amen. So be it. I'm going to share with you a quick little story. I may have shared it before on a Wednesday night, but I'm going to share it again today because it's good. It bears repeating. I was horrified of speaking in front of people. When I mean horrified, you cannot imagine the fear and the dread I had of speaking in front of people. I was not highly educated, and so I was always afraid of my shortcomings there because, you know, I had knowledge, natural knowledge of, you know, kind of, I want to say street knowledge, but it wasn't really street knowledge because I I'm not like that either, but you know what I'm saying? I had natural knowledge in things. I could build things and stuff like that, but I didn't have the education. I didn't have all these things, and I was horrified, and I was always afraid that I would say something stupid, and all this stuff would create great fear in me. And then the direction of the Lord came to me through in my heart, but then also through my pastors, that I was going to pastor. And I didn't know how I was going to do that, and I was super afraid of it. But I remember one day, I was a Wednesday night service. See, it matters what services you're in. Hallelujah. A Wednesday night service, I was standing back there at position 3 as the ushers. That's a guy with the headset. Praise the Lord. Jim, raise your hand. Everybody say hi to Jim. Hallelujah. We all love Jim back there. Praise God. But I was at position 3, and we were praying after Wednesday night, we were doing prayer. And I was praying, and all of a sudden, I had a vision. I had a vision of me preaching someday down the road. Praise the Lord. I didn't know. It blew my mind how I would ever get there. What you just saw, now it wasn't that specific fulfillment of that vision, but what you just saw, the ability to preach and that it flows out and comes to me, praise the Lord. That was in that vision. That's what I saw so many years prior. And see, the thing is that God was showing me something down the road, that something I was going to have, and I didn't know how I was going to get there. But what I did know is that I was going to move in faith. I was going to move towards that because that was the call that he had for me. And so as I moved towards that, you know what? The first time I went out and ministered, it wasn't like that. The second time I went out there, in fact, the first time I left, I've said this before, I'll say it again. The first time I left Mayville, I left there. My wife and I were in tears, and we're like, dear Jesus, do we really have to do this again? We didn't ever want to minister again. That's how much we didn't want to do that. And yet we stayed at it. We stayed at it and we stayed at it. And it was about 2 years into my ministry. One day on a Sunday morning, I don't know what it was, but something broke in my spirit. And praise the Lord, it just started coming out of me. That preaching started coming out of me and the words of the Lord started flowing out of me. And it was a fulfillment of exactly everything that he had said. And now I walk in that all the time. Why? Because it would have never happened if I hadn't stepped out though in faith. It would have never happened unless I moved that direction. See, we have to move towards the things of God. When you know in your heart, seek the Lord, put it before God. If there's something you got to correct, then correct it. I ain't telling you what to correct in your life. You figure it out. But you correct it and you keep a heart towards God, and he will take what is imperfect and he will place his perfection in you. And he will allow you to start doing things that you couldn't do before. He'll start letting you say things that you couldn't say before. You will reach people that you haven't reached before. And I'm going to tell you something. We're reaching Mayville. We're reaching Corey. Praise the Lord. I've had people healed in my church, not by my ability, but because I stepped out. Hallelujah. We've had people set free from all kinds of addictions, everything, because God is so good and that's what he wants to do. But it cannot happen unless his people move. It ain't gonna happen if we just stay and we have our church and it's all good for us. We have our nice church here. We come Sunday mornings and we go about the rest of it. No, church is about the kingdom of God. And if you can't get that, then you're missing the whole point of Christianity. His plan is not on your couch. Praise the Lord. The grace, and I'm going to talk about something else here too. The grace for it only lifts. It only lifts when direction is shifted. I understand what it's like to feel like the grace isn't there to do it anymore, but I'm going to tell you, if you're in the direction of God, if you're doing the thing that he told you last, then you know that you have all the grace that you need. There's many days stepping in the pulpit, it doesn't feel like I have the grace, but I don't go by what I feel. I go by what the word says and what he's saying to me. Praise the Lord. I go by the office that he's placed on my life. It doesn't matter what you're called to. You think, oh, I can't do it again. I can't do it anymore. Has he moved you on? Has he moved you on? If he hasn't moved you on, then everything you need is right there. Praise the Lord. You just got to tap into it. Hallelujah. I said, you just got to tap into it. So many Christians are running around trying this, trying that, instead of just being led by the Spirit, just walking those things out that he has for them, instead of just stepping into those things that he wants them to do. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it's not easy. Jesus didn't say it'd be easy. Well, he did say it'd be light and easy, but that's when you're obeying him and you're following in God, because then when you have that realization, amen? Praise the Lord. I want to say something. Pastor Nancy said this, and I love this, what she said this week even. She said, when God speaks to you about something along with it comes the grace to reach for it. When God speaks to you about something, along with it comes the grace to reach for it. What God has shown you in your heart, what God is, if he's placed you in a church, then he's given you the grace to do everything that church has called you to do or is called to do. If there's an offering taken up, well, I got grace to do it. You know what happens? The people that move on that are the ones who'll see the blessing in their life. You say, well, I ain't got a dime. You don't need to have a dime. Just believe the Lord for it. We had that happen at Mayville. Praise God. And I'm getting real close, fixing the close here. Praise the Lord. We had that happen that last year, my wife and I. We had given, it was a year we had given the most we had ever given. Praise the Lord, we had done the best that we could in church. Because listen, pastors do this too. So if they're good pastors, amen, they got to be examples of this stuff. But I remember it was on my heart one day to believe God for a large, we're talking many thousands of dollars for an offering. My wife and I don't have that much money coming in. We make less now than we did 10 years ago. Praise the Lord. But we do so. We have the favor of God and we have the blessing of God. See that one too. Oh boy. Praise the Lord. He was yelling at me. He was snarling at me. See, I point things out that nobody needs to point out. Amen. That's just part of what I do. Amen. So deal with it. Hallelujah. You only got a few more minutes. But so anyways, we this offering was on my heart and I told my wife and she's like, okay. All right. Well, we have to believe the Lord for it. So we did. And we started What does the Bible say? It says, as a man purposes in his heart, so let him give. So I purposed to do what God told me to do, which was this large many thousands of dollars that we didn't have, coming in, praise God. And so what we started doing was we started nickeling and diming it, as I like to say. We started $5 here, a few dollars here. I mean, it was literally like that. We're counting. And a whole month goes by, and I was starting to get frustrated. I was like, Lord, where is the promise? Well, like you give me this direction, and now I'm moving towards it, and it's not coming in. You see, in my flesh, I wanted it to just happen. What God wanted me to do was just move. He just wanted me to move towards it. You start moving towards a goal. See, you think, well, I want to give $1 million to the church. Praise the Lord. Be blessed. You give millions of dollars to your church. But see, you ain't ever going to get there unless you move it. It's never going to increase unless you increase it. So you start doing what you can. You say, Lord, my heart is to give $1 million to the church. So I give this, this, and this already. I'm going to add this to it so I can move towards it. Because that's what I want. And you know what the Lord started showing me is that he didn't care about if I could just bring $5,000 to church. It takes no faith. If you got $1 million to spend, it takes no faith to bring it and drop it in the offering bucket. Oh, you may think you did a great job, but it means nothing to God. What means God is when you believe him every single day to give more. Lord, I want to give more. I want to do more. And I want to increase this. When you start moving, see, well, this is what movement is. It's you doing something that you didn't know you could do or you didn't have because you're just doing it. You find ways of sowing into it. Praise the Lord. There was one time we wanted to give into special offering for a guest minister that was coming in, and we wanted to make sure it was a good offering, so we started selling stuff. We started moving. Listen, I haven't gone without anything. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that we can't give up anything that he won't replace 100 times over. So what are you so afraid of? It's just you don't believe God. See, if you believe God, he's going to, you say, well, I'll tell you one thing. As a father, I've had to give up a lot of time to be in the ministry. There's a lot of days, a lot of times where I have my kids, and I watch my boys. I was watching my boys grow up from a distance. I'm going to tell you, sometimes that bothered me. Sometimes there was days where I was looking at this, I'm like, Lord, I'm serving you, and I can't. No, I wasn't neglecting my family. You understand? My family understands. We're called to ministry. That's what we're going to do. If you're called to ministry, listen, if you can't serve now for 5 minutes, I'm going to tell you right now, you are not going to like ministry, because ministry is nothing but serving. That's your life. That's what you do. But I said to the Lord, I was like, but the Lord says that I redeem the time. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's redeeming the time in ways that I couldn't even imagine. And we haven't even walked into all that he has for us yet. But don't you be jealous when we do. You know what I'm saying? See, that's the thing. We get excited for God. We move towards those things and he brings them to pass. Praise the Lord. Your job is to water or to plant, right? His job is to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Praise God. God speaks through the utterance and direction of your pastor. When God speaks to you about something, along with it comes the grace to reach for it. God speaks through the utterance and direction of your pastor. Hallelujah. When you plant a church, there is no guarantee except for the leading. You have no guarantee. You don't know if you go there, you'll see everybody this week. You might have made everybody mad last week. There's messages that I've walked away thinking, Dear Jesus, I've been waiting. I've been biting my nails to the next Sunday just to see if I had anybody show back up. Yeah, because sometimes, you know, Lord, I'll have to preach the stuff that ain't fun. Listen, when you got my wife's out there doing it today, praise the Lord. Just preaching a message led by the Lord, but it's a good corrective message, amen. Glory, I love you, baby. I don't know if I can, you probably ain't watching me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But if you do, she knows that I talk. I always talk about my wife because my wife is a wonderful, wonderful, amazing woman of God. Oh, my gosh. Praise the Lord. You're all jealous because I got her and you didn't, but praise the Lord. That's the way it is. Deal with it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I didn't get to everything I'm going to get to today, but I want to close with this, Hebrews 10:38. Spent a lot of time in Hebrews. See, the thing that you need to take out, you may be like, oh, I didn't like his hooting and hollering, I didn't like the way he yelled at us, I don't like this, I don't like that. Listen, it's a principle in the Word. Listen, just take the Word. If you don't like what I filter it through the Word, just look at what I said. Write down the Scriptures. If you don't, go back, listen to me yell one more time on archives. Write down the Scriptures. Go look at them for yourself and see if God won't do something in you. If you have a heart towards God, listen, he'd get you past even screaming preachers. Hallelujah. Amen? Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But it doesn't stop there. Hallelujah. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You know the Bible, Jeremiah 29:11, we talk about that all the time. My thoughts, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You know the soul is the mind, praise the Lord. You know that, if you don't, well, it's the truth. The soul is the mind, the Bible talks about the soul being the mind. Look at this. My soul has no pleasure in anyone who draws back. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts. Where do thoughts happen? They happen in your mind. The thoughts happen in God's mind. His soul has no pleasure. His mind has no pleasure in those who draw back. His mind has no pleasure. Jeremiah 29:11 will not work for you if you don't love him, if you don't move in faith, if you don't move forward, if you don't step out. Once in a while, listen, you ain't got to do anything big. I'm not telling you got to go out there and build a church tomorrow. I'm not telling you got to come up with some $10,000 offering or something like that. I'm not telling you that you got to do everybody else's job in the church that ain't getting done. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of jobs in the church that don't get done because people just don't do them. Yeah, absolutely. Because people don't take the same care for the house of God sometimes as they do their own homes. But God said, if you take care of mine, I'll take care of yours. You ain't got to worry about yours. Just send people to take care of yours. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I love it. You know what he did with me? He sent me a house that I didn't have to work on. I like that. Anything we do in the house is stuff that we want to do. We just add, make it pretty. Stuff that we want to change. That's what he did for me, yeah. I lived in years in a house, a rat hole house that I had to work on and work on and work on. It was just one trial after another in this stinking house. It was the blessing of the Lord. I didn't realize he was teaching me some stuff, but you see, I didn't go through it right. But faith moves. See, faith moves towards it. Now God's giving me a house I'm not trying to preach stuff. You know, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that God will bless you. He wants to bless you. That's his goal, is to bless you. Amen? Praise the Lord.